Good morning, Sacred Seekers. It's Anchor Tuesday here at Madame Molly's, and this is me, Madame Molly. Today I want to talk a little bit about your magical practices and what they actually may or may not entail. I want to bring up the fact that something that I read over the weekend got me to really thinking about my own magical practices, and one of the things that Westerners often do when they find a pagan or metaphysical path is they key in on the mystical or what they think is the magical and the really woo-woo aspects of it, and they kind of forget about some of the more mundane aspects to their spirituality. And what I mean by their mundane aspects to their spirituality is doing things like offerings and simply living their life by stepping forward with one foot at a time and just getting from here to there. We talk a lot about energy and energy work, and a lot of people get caught up in that. And because of the common religions, and I mean common by the Abrahamic religions, the big three, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, there is mysticism in those particular religions, but not for the common layperson, not usually anyways. You know, you go to church and you do your thing. Some of the different sects have some very spiritual practices, and there's some big movement of spirit within the body in those places and at certain times, but often we're left with someone standing at a pulpit or near an altar explaining to us how we should be acting and how we should be feeling, and a lot of times we're not feeling it. We're just going through the rote actions and listening to the words of another. And when we do come upon spirituality that's of a more nature-based origin or a mystical origin or even a magical origin, we tend to get caught up in the journeying or the meditation and the mind trip that we can take in and the spiritual connection that we can make that we couldn't find or didn't know how to find in our religion of upbringing, which is oftentimes one of those three. Sometimes we do have people within the Buddhist community who've been brought up in that, and they, for whatever reason, they didn't have that connection to something greater than themselves, or even their highest expression of themselves, through their growing stages of their life, through their childhood and, you know, their youth and their young adulthood, and they become somewhat enamored. And we do this; we become enamored of the trip, you know, and Western people, Americans in particular, I think, tend to be very three-dimensional, very of this world. This is my opinion. Just don't base this on anybody's facts other than my opinion. We're very all about being satisfied, being entertained, and doing it right now. And the spirit world really isn't that way. And our spiritual expression in this world, you know, if that's what works for you, that's what works for you. But energetically, it can happen that you get a high, a big spiritual kick in the ass, you know, when you first get started in this path, and you get the goosebumps and you get the big good feels and all that, and then it sort of peters out. And one of the things that was brought up over this weekend in one of the shamanic groups that I'm on, there was some discussion about doing your offerings and making sure that you're staying in regular communion with the spirits of place, the spirits of nature, whether that's gods or goddesses or just energy forms to you. That's up to you how you work with that. And by offerings, the quality of the offering often, actually always dictates the quality of the work. You know, you can go in and you can do the journey work all you want, and sometimes you don't get the messages. Same with, you know, divination of any kind. Sometimes you're not getting the messages because you have not maintained the connection to those energies. And one of the things I used to really do all the time is I work with energies called brownies. And those are kind of a Northern European Germanic type wee people. They're similar to, you know, fairies, leprechauns, that nature, but the brownies are different. And because they are part of my heritage, that's who presents themselves to me. And I used to leave, you know, cups of coffee and milk for them, and occasionally, you know, dinner. And I really didn't make a commitment to looking at the energies of place. And I have a good friend here in the area who has talked many times to me about connecting to the energies of place. And for a while there, we were working together, and I was making regular pilgrimages to the mountains and taking, you know, what you would call sacrifice. And for me, sacrifice is something that is not easy to give, you know, in like Christian religion, you would hear it called tithing. But for me, sacrifice is giving something that I can't easily give, a portion of my meal that I don't want to give up. I used to be relatively poor. So for me, taking, you know, some coffee or part of my meal and sharing it with the energies of place, leaving it at an altar or at a tree stump or something for the energies of place, was a big deal, because I really didn't have the extra money to do that. So for me, that was a sacrifice. I've also often in the past, when I smoked, I would, you know, leave gifts of tobacco, because, you know, that was another thing that I enjoyed, the tobacco. And it was a little bit painful to leave it, because there wasn't enough money to go and replace it. And that's what I mean by sacrifice. It should be something that's a little bit painful to leave. And when I don't even have any of those things with me, oftentimes I'll pull a chunk of hair out at the nape of my neck. One, because it hurts. And two, because it's a portion of myself. And when I'm doing this, I'll take it out and kind of tie some knots. And as I'm tying the knots into that little chunk of hair, I think of my intentions and the thoughts that I have about connecting with that energy of place. And I'll leave that knotted hunk of hair in a tree branch or something, knowing that the spirits of nature, birds, are going to pick it up and use it in their nesting material. And that really, that to me is one of the hardest things to do, because who wants to yank a hunk of hair out? And it doesn't have to be huge. But, you know, the other thing is, when you're making an offering or a sacrifice, and I'm not suggesting that you go out and kill anything for your sacrifice, not in any way, but I am suggesting that you offer something that isn't easy to give. And you can offer a sacrifice as easy as volunteering your time when it's difficult to find time for the things that you want to do, you know, or, you know, give a portion of your meal, or, you know, share the last cup of your coffee, whatever it is that is a little harder for you to give than it would be on another day. That's what I mean by sacrifice. And I think that's where Westerners, we're used to having what we want when we want it, the way we want it. And, you know, we can kind of blame McDonald's and Walmart for that shit. They have perpetuated a culture of instant gratification, television, you know, all of those things. And we have become very disconnected as a culture. And as we step into our magical practices, our mystical practices, you know, we really crave that connection. And that's why I think we dive into the journeying and the mystical aspects of things and the magic. And, you know, for a lot of people right now, it's the law of attraction. And that's kind of a mystical woo-woo type of thing. And there's nothing wrong with the law of attraction, even in the most simplistic ways it's explained. You know, you wish for it and it shows up, and the universe is your catalog type thing. Even in those respects, the law of attraction is something that's very attractive to the Western mind, because we're all about the material gain and we're all about feeling good and our satisfaction, because for some reason we're completely out of touch with ourselves and one another, the earth, and the energies of place in particular. And I kind of would like to talk a little bit about that and indicate that and let you know that my experience is the law of attraction does work. And yes, you can sit on your couch and wait for something to happen. And yes, it eventually will. Maybe not in your time frame. Maybe not in your lifetime. So you may not actually receive the benefits of your attraction. In order for the law of attraction to work and for you to have a sense of ownership over that, you have to take on kind of a magical mindset in that you have to take action to do something, to create a change. Because that's really all that magic is the bending of the nature of things and changing the energy and manipulating how things work. And I don't mean manipulation in a negative sense. I mean combining tools and techniques in a way that creates an effect or a change that is desired by you or by another. So when you're working with that law of attraction, begin with creating a connection to the energies of place. If that's a little bit much for you and you don't really want to do the energies of place, you can look at it as the god or the goddess or the gods and goddesses, however you view that, the saints, whatever, the intermediaries, the angels, whoever it is you work with on a regular basis, and make that deeper connection with them, because in essence they are, you know, the energies of place, and you bring your energy to the place as well, and recognize that, you know, we spend a lot of time in the metaphysical and woo-woo world talking about positivity and, you know, be careful what you think, you'll just get that, don't go out there, law of attracting some bullshit to you. Well, it does work that way, but it also doesn't work that way. You've actually got to put some intention into it, and you've got to have some connection to that energy. Like I said, you can sit on your couch and you can open up the universal catalog and you can make wishes and they can come true. It's just time frame is different than you might expect. When you're putting tools and techniques together and, you know, through prayers or spells or energy work, whatever, you're creating an active change in that energy, and you're manipulating that energy in a way that brings out the benefits or the results that you're looking for. And you start that by creating a connection. And, you know, for me, since it was brought back to my attention over the weekend that I hadn't really been maintaining my connection to place, I am going to revisit that. I've been doing a lot of journey work and I've been receiving a lot of messages that way, but I'm also very clear that as my life changes, always for the better, that sometimes I can say no and let go of things that no longer serve me, but then I have space to utilize for a greater connection to create greater change in my particular world. And, you know, as my teenage daughter likes to explain to everybody about the butterfly effect, how a butterfly flapping its wings doesn't seem to affect much of anything, but as those air currents ripple out from the wings of the butterfly, they increase and may change something that was totally unexpected. She's amazing. She sat there and explained that to her little cousin last night, and I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. Anyway, I encourage you to determine how you want to make a connection and what your offerings and what your ritual of offering is going to be once you've determined who your connection is going to be to. Let's talk about that a little bit. You can find me at Madam Molly's on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram, on Twitter. You can find me in my wellness group, Wellness with Madam Molly's. Or you can find me in my tarot group, which is Madam Molly's Tarot Talk. So You can also find me at madamollys.com. And I'll remind you again, I'm still working on that silly webpage. One of these days, as I let go of things that no longer serve me and I start reconnecting with who I am and what my purpose is, and I have figured that out finally, yay, you'll start seeing greater changes on that website. And as always, you can pop by old Bisbee and give me a shout, and I can make an appointment with you for readings or shamanic style work, Reiki, attunements and treatments, or we can just talk oils or have a cup of coffee if that's what you're into. So this is Molly, and I've been here on Anchor for, I don't know what, started in September last year, so, I don't know, 8 months, something like that. And I'm really pleased with the Anchor format now. Things are getting a lot easier to use, and I'm looking forward to expanding from just Anchor Tuesday to maybe another podcast segment once a month on a particular subject. So if you guys want me to talk about anything in particular, please contact me and let me know what you want to hear me chatter about for a monthly podcast. Or if you've got something you want to talk about, let me know and we'll figure out how to do a podcast where we're both on it at the same time. It's pretty cool that way. So you guys all have a great day and think about how you're going to make a connection to the energies of place and how what that means to you and what your sacrifice or your offering is going to be to make that connection and how you're going to maintain that connection through your offerings. This is Madam Molly's, and I'm out of here. You have a wonderful day, and I love y'all.